Blue inserts. Ha-ha. I encourage you now to use them as you follow our sermon. Our sermon is entitled, An Unexpected Surprise. Based on our gospel reading from Matthew 3, the gospel reading about the baptism of Jesus, especially finding our theme in verse 13, which reads, Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Again, our title, An Unexpected Surprise. We all enjoy a good surprise once in a while, but sometimes things catch us by such a surprise, we're not sure how to react. The story is told of a dear husband and wife who'd been married for 65 years. And all through the 65 years of the marriage, the woman had a problem. The problem was her husband. The problem was that he could not communicate clearly. Everything her husband said could be interpreted two or three ways. He just couldn't clearly communicate his message. And this problem, unfortunately, followed this dear woman to her grave because she passed away, and her husband went to the stone cutter to put together her marble headstone, and he said to the stone cutter, Here's what I want. I wanted to read, Rest in peace on both sides, and if there's enough room, we'll meet in heaven. So about 2 weeks later, he went back to the stonemason, and on the front of the stone, this is what it read. Rest in peace on both sides, and if there's enough room, we'll meet in heaven. He was surprised. Notice your sermon outline. One day, John the Baptist got quite a surprise. Jesus came to him to be baptized. Listen to verses 13 and 14 of the text. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? John says to Jesus, Whoa, hold it. It should be the other way around. Not me baptizing you, but you baptizing me. No way, I just can't do it, Jesus. What was John's problem? All of his life, John had been preparing others for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, getting others ready to meet him. And in today's gospel reading, John is performing a baptism for repentance, for people to repent of their sin to get ready to meet Jesus. John's baptism was for repentance of sin. And when Jesus came to John to be baptized, it was as if Jesus was acknowledging, John, I am a sinner, and I need repentance. And John says, no. John says, Jesus, no. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are God's Son. You are no sinner. You do not need this baptism. Well, what's going on here? Listen to the text because Jesus answers in verse 15. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus says it's fitting. It's proper. It fills all righteousness. Just do it, John. But the big question of today's sermon is, how does Jesus' baptism fulfill all righteousness? And why did the sinless Son of God submit to baptism? Notice your sermon outline. How does Jesus' baptism fulfill all righteousness? Because Jesus' baptism is such a surprise, even biblical scholars haven't quite got the clear answer exactly why. There are three answers to how Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness, starting with the weakest to the strongest. Let's look at number one. Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness because his being baptized in the waters of the River Jordan fulfilled the time the children of Israel were led through the River Jordan to the promised land. What does that mean? Just as Moses led the children of Israel from slavery out of Egypt, and Joshua led the people across the River Jordan to the promised land, in the same way, Jesus' baptism in the same river, the River Jordan, marks the beginning of our deliverance from slavery to sin and our entrance into the promised land in heaven. That's one way to see it. A second way it's on your outline is that Jesus' baptism was a fulfillment of God's law, as Jesus became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, to fully obey all of God's law, so that his life would be a perfect sacrifice for our sin on the cross, willingly submitted himself to a baptism of repentance, as John's baptism was, so that Jesus, like everybody else, would fully obey God's law. But I would suggest the third answer on your outline is probably the best. The best answer is that Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness because at the waters of the Jordan, Jesus fully identified with unrighteous sinners in order to bring us God's righteousness. Listen to those key words. He purposely submitted to a baptism confessing he was unrighteous to give us God's righteousness. Let me explain that. Jesus came to the Jordan River for baptism. Jesus came along with no prostitutes, corrupt tax collectors, brutalizing Roman soldiers, self-righteous Pharisees. They were all there in the water of the Jordan being baptized by John. Jesus would not separate himself from the sin of mankind. At the Jordan River, through his baptism, fully identifying with sinners like you and me, Jesus took upon himself. He took upon himself the corporate sinfulness of all mankind that later he would bear on the cross. This is what the Bible calls the great exchange. It's on your outline. The great exchange. Jesus took upon himself our sin. Jesus went to the cross and died our death. Jesus was forsaken by the Heavenly Father as the powers of sin, death, and the devil struck him on the cross. He took all of that. And what do we get in exchange? We get forgiveness of sins. We get the righteousness of God. We get the gift of heaven. We get all of these wonderful things. Now, with this great exchange, who got the short end of the stick? Jesus. The great exchange is we get what Jesus deserves because he took upon himself what we deserved. The great exchange, our sin for his righteousness. And at the River Jordan, he began the process of taking our sins upon him that finally was finished on the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It sums up the great exchange. Listen carefully now for the exchange. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Here it is again, the great exchange. But there is even more to the surprise of Jesus' baptism. Look at point two on your sermon outline. There's even more to this surprise. Here in Matthew chapter 3, we find the first recorded words of Jesus since he spoke when he was a teenager in the temple. Do you remember that incident? Joseph and Mary and Jesus went to Jerusalem. It was during the festival. They left and they couldn't find Jesus. They found him in the temple. What was this 13-year-old boy doing? Teaching the teachers of the law. We have that recorded in the gospel. After that account, there is not one word that Jesus speaks that's recorded until this event. So here is the first recorded words of Jesus since he was a boy. In your gospel lesson, it's verse 15. Let me read it for you. But Jesus answered John, that is, regarding his baptism. John, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. These words, as Don said in the children's sermon correctly, mark the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Up to this day, Jesus had been the obedient son of Joseph and Mary, working alongside Joseph in his carpentry shop. But on this day, on the day of his baptism, Jesus begins his public ministry that climaxes at the cross. These words of Jesus set the tone and announce the theme of what his ministry is all about. Listen again to his words. Let it be so now, John, that is, for me to be baptized, because it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. This sets the theme of his ministry. Speaking of setting the theme of your ministry, about 30 years ago, a very old pastor took me aside and said this: let me give you some words of advice, young man, on how to start a successful ministry. If you want a successful ministry, here's what you do. And by the way, these words of advice I passed on to generations of my seminary students who are now pastors all over Canada. These were the words of advice of the pastor. To start your ministry off on the right foot, he said, get in good with the church secretary and get in good with the women's group in the church, and everything else will be just fine. Of all the things Jesus could have done to start his ministry, the glorious miracles he could have performed, the amazing healings he could have done, calling fire from heaven, no. Jesus chose to begin his ministry by being baptized in the muddy waters of the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Surprise! The surprise of Jesus' baptism declares one truth, and here it is. The reason he came was to bear and was to forgive the sins of the world. He says to John, John, permit me to be baptized, because by being baptized, I will fulfill all righteousness. That is, I will fulfill the job God has sent me to do. That is, I will fulfill the job God has sent me to do by making people righteous, by taking their sins upon myself, by dying on the cross for them. My baptism starts it off. My cross finishes it off. John, it will fulfill all righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we have this beautiful passage. It says much the same thing. Listen again to the words of the great exchange. We get what he deserves. He got what we deserve. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have sinned and gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him, upon Jesus, the sins of us all. The sins that Jesus began to bear on the River Jordan, the sins that Jesus finally bore on the cross, make no mistake about it, are your sins and are mine. And he submitted to the waters of baptism that he might begin that process of bearing our sins and taking them to the cross. Now, John said to Jesus, hold it. Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. That is, I know that I'm a sinner. But Jesus said to John, John, it is God's plan that I am joined to all sinners through this baptism to begin the work that will be finished at the cross. Jesus' baptism is the beginning of his purpose for coming to this earth, to be the one who bears and pays for the sins of the world. There are later recorded words of John in John 1, verse 29. In John's gospel, as Jesus is coming to John for baptism, John stops his baptism, tells the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In his first public appearance, John gives Jesus a title that represents who he is and why he came. John said, "Behold, everybody, Jesus. Who is he? The Lamb of God. What has he come to do? To take away the sins of the world." He came to take what we deserve, that we might get what he deserves. One could say in old language, he took our licking for us. Years ago, a story is told of a one-room schoolhouse. Can anybody even imagine such things? That's the way they used to be. In the hills of Appalachia in West Virginia Hills, where people there are often called hillbillies. And in this one-room schoolhouse, there was a group. It was an all-boys school. They were rough boys. They were mean boys. They drove one teacher after another away. Finally, a young man finished teacher's college, and he took the charge, and he was determined he was going to stick it out, and he was going to shape these boys up. On the first day of school, he went to the chalkboard and said, "Okay, we have to have some rules in this room, in this schoolhouse. You tell me the rules." And the gang leader of the boys, named Big Tom, said, "I'll give you some rules, teacher." Teacher said, "Fine, I'll write them on the chalkboard." So Big Tom said, "No cussing, no chewing tobacco in class, no stealing, no being late." Teacher said, "Fine, it's good to have rules, but rules are meaningless unless there's some penalty attached. What's the penalty for breaking a rule?" And the boy said, 10 stripes across your back with the teacher's rod without your coat on." And the teacher said, "That's a pretty severe rule, but these are your rules. This is your penalty. Now school begins." For the first week, school went fine. But then it was discovered that somebody had stolen Big Tom's lunch. And it was discovered very quickly it was a little 8-year-old boy named Jimmy who took Big Tom's lunch. Jimmy was brought to the front of the classroom. The teacher got his rod and said, "Jimmy, you know the rules and you know the penalty. Now take off your coat for your stripes. It's time for your licking." And Jimmy said, "Teacher, I'll take any licking you want to give me, but please, can I please keep my coat on?" The coat was 2 sizes too big. "Jimmy, you know the rules. You help make them. Take off your coat." And when he took off his coat, little Jimmy didn't have a shirt under his coat, but a feed sack, a burlap bag. And the teacher said, "Jimmy, where is your shirt?" And Jimmy said, "Teacher, my dad died last year. We're very poor. Mom does laundry only once a week. I only have one good shirt. She's washing that shirt today. I had to keep warm, and I borrowed my big brother's coat. That's why I don't have a regular shirt on." The teacher thought, "What can I do to this poor boy? But we've made the rules. The penalty is clear. Jimmy, stand up against the wall. Take your licking." As he raised the rod, suddenly Big Tom stood and said, "Teacher, ain't there some kind of a rule that says you can take someone's place or substitute for them?" Teacher thought that would be a fairly good rule. Then Big Tom says, "Teacher, I'll take Jimmy's licking for him." So Tom took his jacket off and bent on the wall. Teacher raised his rod. 1, 2, 3, 4. At the 5th time, the rod broke in half. The teacher buried his head in his hand and said, "What can I do? I can't go on." As he closed his eyes, he heard some sobbing in the classroom. And he looked and wondered, what were the boys crying about? And looked up, little Jimmy had his arms wrapped around Big Tom's neck and said, "Big Tom, I'll love you forever for what you've done. I'll love you forever for taking my licking for me." Jesus left. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. Why? To come to our earth to take our licking for us on the cross. Jesus paid fully for your sins, for the sins of the world, for my sins. And Jesus began this redemptive work when he identified with sinners at the River Jordan in the baptism of John. The baptism of Jesus is an unexpected surprise for sinners like you and me. In Christ Jesus, God loves you, sinner, and God loves me. What a wonderful surprise. In the name of Jesus, amen.